cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to GAWon'tWait.com.
Welcome to KWOS Open Air Saturday with Hal Dooley on News Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5.
4-5 News Radio 950 KWOS. I'm John Marsh. Yep, got the Saturday duty on the KWOS Saturday Morning Show, open air, and we are remote at Cotton Stone Gallery on High Street in Jefferson City with bon vivant all around Jim Dyke.
What's that word you just used?
A bon vivant.
What does that mean?
It means you're a classy guy.
That's cool. Is that French?
Yes, sir.
I just realized the week before last, my delivery guy from St. Louis was born in Switzerland.
Okay.
And grew up in France. And I said, really? And he likes my Donald Trump hat.
There you go. Trump, did you hook him up?
Well, he held the hat. I said, do a video. I gave him the hat, and he did a video, and he said, I love Donald Trump, best president of the United States. And it got a lot of hits on Facebook.
How about that? There's a crowd out there that would immediately ask for his deportation back to Switzerland, too, right?
No, he's a United States citizen now. It's too late.
Well, give us a little background on Cotton Stone Gallery, Jim, for the few people who don't know where you are and what you're all about.
So we're right here at the crosswalk, the 100 block of East High Street. Just, I can look out the door and see the state capitol. I can see the bridge crossing the Missouri River. And it's 42 years old. April 26th, it will be 42 years old. And I've owned it over half that time.
This is one of the oldest buildings in downtown Jefferson City.
That's what I'm told. Can you trust Carolyn McDowell? Do you know Carolyn McDowell?
We all know Carolyn McDowell.
Well, Carolyn says this is one of the oldest buildings in town. And she says that because, and she's heard that from older people, because of the shape of the roof. Now, Carolyn knows older people. She did. Back, you know, at her age, she knows people from the 1820s and stuff.
You're very brave.
Now, she's going to kill me later. But really, the style of the building, It's shaped like a pitched roof, like a house or something. But I do have a cellar here. I open it up a couple times a week to show people
it's
the cellar.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So if you need to hide runaway slaves or anything, this is a perfect place.
I tell people that I have barrels of whiskey down there and wild women tied up. And the women are tied up so they can't get into the whiskey.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
We've got quite the show today. Jeannie Schwaller's in with us to talk a little ag, a little history. Former Councilman Edie Vogel is with us as well. Former Councilman Cliff Olson to talk to us about a big anniversary coming up. Jim, why don't we hand off to Jeannie and talk to Jeannie a little bit about, we were talking about history off air, not to leave anybody out of our discussion, Jeannie, but especially from an ag standpoint and ag economy standpoint. Missouri ranks way up there, and I don't think a lot of younger folks even have any idea about that, do they?
I don't think so either, and one of the things that I'm concerned about with our young people, particularly in urban areas, that they really have no clue as to where food comes from. Now, I realize that all of us in Cole County in this area, we drive around and we see soybeans and corn, and we see cattle in the fields. We don't see pigs so much anymore, and some people have chickens, that kind of thing. But we really don't know where food comes from. And I think if you would hand any person that was 25 years old a live chicken and say, fix me fried chicken tonight, they would look at you absolutely, because they have no idea how to do anything about it.
They get on their phone and call DoorDash.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so I thought, you know, it's the spring of the year, it's the renewal time. It's time that we start planting not only our edible crops, but also our flowers and that kind of thing. And for people who want to get into this, and there is quite a large movement back into gardening and home gardening, is where do you go to get resources to do this? And of course, the University of Missouri's Cole County Extension is right here in Cole County, and they have a plethora of materials for you to go ahead and start gardening, and great information. The Missouri Botanical Garden in St. Louis has a help hotline that you can call in, and that's free. And Jefferson City is rather blessed with a couple of garden clubs. We have a Bittersweet Garden Club and Capital Garden Club. So there are members of the community that also do have some knowledge on how to garden and what to garden. But I was really going to talk about how blessed the United States is with our food sufficiency. Every one of us goes to the grocery store at least once a month, if not more often. I'm a daily grocery shopper. But we go into that grocery store and we expect food. You do not go in and hope for food. And even people with low income in this country have abilities to procure food either through government assistance or in Cole County, many, many food banks. But I want to talk a little bit about Missouri and how we fit into the national plan of things. Missouri is the number one worldwide producer of black walnuts. Now, Missouri, of course, has Hammond's, which is in southwest Missouri, that produces the black walnut nuts that we see in the store. Right at the present time, Missouri is the second state in the nation with the number of farms. We have between 93,000 and 100,000 farms, and these oftentimes are very small farms, but they contribute to what we eat. I was absolutely shocked that over $93 billion in Missouri's revenue came from agricultural products. And I don't think a lot of us think about when you drive down and see those beautiful black Angus cows standing out in the field, or any other cow standing in the field, that we are between number two and number three in cow-calf production, number two in cow-calf production, number three in beef cattle. So a lot of what you're eating at McDonald's or any other fast food hamburger place, I won't say that the meat comes directly from Missouri, but a good portion of beef in the U.S. comes from this.
Something we were talking about off air on the KWS Saturday morning show, we're at live at Jim Dyke's Scott and Stone Gallery. Jeannie, we were talking off air a little bit too about the seed farms that are here in Missouri, and we hear so much from the survivalist movement, and there is a big, you know, survivalist movement. Sometimes they don't like to be called that, but a lot of people do a lot of food stockpiling. We know down in what, Morgan County, that is big business for their big seed operation down there.
Yes, Morgan County Seed Company does have a large variety of seeds, both greenhouse seeds and seeds that you can grow in home gardens, as well as the commercial production. And of course, they do have, right outside of Fortuna, the vegetable auction that occurs a couple of times a week during the summertime. And it's amazing how many people, how many commercial people from Kansas City and St. Louis come to that vegetable auction. And I would say between $3 and $5 million of vegetables are sold out of that auction every year, which is unbelievable. One of the other things that I don't think we think about is rice production. Missouri is the number four state in the United States in rice production.
Just drive through the boot heel the right time of the year, right?
Yes, yes. And we are way up there in turkeys, soybeans, hogs, and cotton. And cotton is another crop that we don't think about here, but cotton has been grown in the state of Missouri since prior to the Civil War, and even as far north as Springfield, Missouri. So that's interesting. I'm very proud of the fact that we have 120 wineries in Missouri with very different types of grapes, much, much better wine than that from California. And I will fight anyone on that situation because of our varieties of grapes. We have 36 dairy processing plants, and Cole County is blessed with probably one of the best ice cream processing plants in all of the United States, in my opinion, and that's Central Dairy.
Prairie Farms.
Well,
if we go back to branding it, how they're,
yes,
branded now,
right.
But it's always be Central Dairy to
us. And that is a local business that has grown over the years, but it's an absolutely amazing facility in processing liquid milk as well. But the ice cream is outstanding. If you want to look at other kinds of things that are grown that are sort of we don't think about, is we grow a lot of pecans, we grow a lot of mushrooms, And we export out of the state of Missouri our export of soybeans, basically, to the east is really, really tremendous. We also produce apples and peaches. I think all of us wait for those southeast Missouri and Illinois peaches to come into our various stores, and there's signs about Eckert's peaches and
Or you'll make peaches. A run and go buy a bushel and split them with your friends and neighbors.
Right. And you can just drive up a little bit up the Missouri River and hit the apple production up around Waverly.
One of the neatest things I think that we've seen in Missouri, and it's been over the last probably 40, 50 years, is alternative agriculture and the aquaculture and all that that people are doing now with really alternative kinds of ag products. It's not hogs and, right. and cattle and soybeans, but it's catfish and you name it.
The state of Missouri has a very unique program called Agri-Missouri, and if you're a small producer, like you're making jams and jellies in a kitchen, you can get funding from there to pay for half of your advertising. So that helps that small producer. And you were talking about the survivalist. I call it sustainable agriculture.
Preppers.
A lot of people are attempting to go back to where they produce, we'll say 80% of their food. I don't know a whole lot of people that grow wheat and grind their own flour, but that's a possibility as well. Missouri does produce some wheat, nothing like a little bit west of us. So, yes, agriculture plays a major role in everybody's life, at least twice a day, if not three times a day. And we eat well. And part of my life has been spent overseas.
You were talking about your time on a Jamaican coffee plantation.
Right. Well, I would like to talk about being in Russia.
We're going to have to take a break here. First, Jeannie, and Jeannie Schwaller's in with us this morning on KWS, the Saturday Morning Show, open air. Hal Dooley taking a day off. We are live at Jim Dyke's Cottonstone Gallery. We will come right back.
It's back, the Telly Tires at Cost Sale. No gimmicks, no catch. All in-stock tires will be sold at cost with a $22.95 mounting and balancing fee. This sale won't last long, so hurry and reserve your tires today before it's too late. Save big on these great brands with our Tires at Cost Sale at Telly Tire. From the moment you drive on our lot to long after you drive away, we take care of you. We're not your average shop. We're Telly Tire and Auto Centers.
Imagine having an Olympic-sized swimming pool in your backyard. Okay, well, your yard might not be big enough for that, but it is big enough for an endless pool from Vaughn Pools and Spa. Endless pools are a tad bit bigger than a hot tub, but it allows you to swim like you're in a real pool. Visit one of Vaughn Pools and Spa's five locations in Columbia, Jefferson City, Rolla, Sedalia, and Osage Beach, and save $5,000 off an endless pool today.
Your dreams will come true.
Is your job living up to expectations? Zimmer Communications presents What Employers Say Versus What They Actually Mean. What they say. You'll start with 2 weeks of PTO. What they mean. Yes, PTO. Possible time off. Maybe. At Zimmer Communications, paid time off is exactly what it sounds like. Put in your days, get paid, enjoy your time off. Work for a family-owned, community-minded media company. Apply to be a part of our sales team today at ZimmerCommunications.com.
Fear not. There's good news. Here's Pastor John King.
Trusting him as the boss, as our Lord. What we have to do for that to happen is we have to forsake all of our own, us saying that we can do it on our own. That's pride. We have to forsake us trying to accomplish enough or be good enough. And instead we say, no, I'm going to trust what you did. I'm going to trust you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord. And as we do, I want you to see that we come in worship. And I've been teaching this definition that's relatively simplistic, but I want it to be something that we can understand. Worship is having a right view of God and responding appropriately.
For more information about our radio ministry, visit concordjc.org.
No, it's not Halloween. What you're hearing is the inside of your best friend's house. They've been locked in there all winter long with those dirty old windows. Spring is in the air. It's time to let the freshness in. And nothing is fresher for your home than new windows from Pete's Siding Supply. Transform your home this spring and make every day brighter. Because when your new windows shine, so does your life. This spring, have a happy home. Call Pete today or go to PeteSidingSupply.com.
Attention! Corporal Dooley is in the building on KWOS.
Nope, Corporal Dooley did not answer the roll call this morning. I'm John Marsh. We're here at Jim Dyke's Cotton Stone Gallery, live and on the road with the KWOS Saturday Morning Show. 104.5 News Radio, 950 KWOS. Former Councilman Edie Vogel in with us this morning. Edie, welcome back to the airwaves.
Good morning. How is everybody today?
Doing good. You know, we were talking, it was kind of interesting with Jeannie talking about product and ag product and all, and gee, with your family's history with the Marshall Brewery back in the day and for many, many years a Coca-Cola bottling plant, you know all about production of product here in Missouri yourself and have
yeah,
a long time.
I'm real expert at it. But her words of wisdom today were well taken, and I have to agree that the average person now younger than Jeannie and I probably does not know how things are made and produced and where. They just, like you jokingly said a while ago, call DoorDash or whatever those food delivery places are that bring you that sub sandwich or pizza or whatever.
Coca-Cola products.
I don't think I've ever seen, we haven't started that yet. Maybe I'll have to have a meeting and see if we want to deliver.
Watch what your nephew might task
you
with.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But
the door-to-door Coke delivery.
But I found it interesting that, you know, also my family history had the mill, the G.H. Dooley Milling Company, which is was located down along the river there, and the newer people in town would always recognize when they talk about the mill bottom, and that's how that came about. There's nothing left down there except one of the buildings, and they've turned that into an event center. And I kind of look back, and I kind of think, you know, it's too bad that all that had to be taken down for a parking lot, because we could have had another tourist, a good tourist attraction to go along with some of the other places that we emphasize, the Missouri State Penitentiary, and now the Department of Natural Resources, wants to buy the old shoe factory down on Capitol Avenue and turn it into office buildings for them. So we're lucky we still have some historical structures here in town, but not many.
Well, that's one thing, and I think and Jim and I have talked before about folks who've been around a while. And you talk about Mill Bottom,
yeah,
and down in that part of, people remember the old roundhouse from the
yes,
railroad. And
that's
the
just
whole,
that's what I'm.
And the whole business district.
I'm
right
just
there.
Yeah, it's like a little city in itself, and it's too bad that it's all been tore down.
Well,
so
they had the drugstore there, and they
drugstore,
had a grocery store.
I think they also had a department store, Rodemans,
night after night tavern, wasn't it? Right,
barber shops and all the. Circle X and Patty Malone's is the only one that survived that, you know. So it's part of our history here in Jefferson City, and our stories tie in together.
Well, I had a friend whose grandparents used to live upstairs in one of the apartments down in Mill Bottom, and he relates being well underage and grandpa handing him the pail and sending him down to Dew Drop or whatever it was down below and have him get him a pail of beer and bring it back up. And he said they never questioned
no.
it. Who's this for? Oh, it's for old Grandpa Fisher.
I think that's the way it would operate. And I think they had over at the Capitol Brewery, they had a tap that you could go and get a beer on the side with if you brought your bucket. And so with it, boy, you couldn't do that now, could you? No.
It's Edie Vogel's in with us with a cast of thousands as we're live at Jim Dyke's Cotton Stone Gallery on High Street on the KWOS Saturday Morning Show. Edie, so many times on the radio with us, you've weighed in on the political side. We've got you here. What do you think on the judge's decision on Fonnie Willis and that whole deal?
Well,
come on, Edie.
Well, I think the judge's ruling was to protect his political ass because he's running for office in Atlanta, And so he knew that there's no way he could throw her off if he's running for, you know, re-election. And I take it, though, that she will, she fired her chief, chief investigator, which she was having an affair with, you know, and I think the people, if they're paying attention, I think they're going to see that we definitely have a two-tier justice system in this United States right now, and it's been going on for a long time, and we'll just wait and see.
What do you think of the whole third-party candidate thing? You remember we had the...
Can't go anywhere with it. It's
remember when we talked to Jay Nixon not that long ago, when he got right involved in the third-party thing, and then people just sort of...
it was just
immediately... Stood back, scratch your
heads. Yeah, it's just... you know, now we're talking about, they're talking about, what'd they say today? Republican, Democrat versus MAGNA. You know, and I'm thinking, what? Because you've got so many Republicans that are establishment, in my opinion, and they're not really, you know, they're just not toeing the line the way they should be doing. I refer to them as the establishment. And then some of the Democrats, though, are waking up to the fact that they can't stand all this left-wing liberal nut job stuff that's going on. So I don't know. You know, once again, we have to wait and see. Wait and see.
Well, then we have RFK Jr. in there talking about potentially NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers or Jesse the Body Ventura.
You know what? Sometimes Robert Kennedy speaks with some common sense. You know, it's hard to understand him because of his speech impediment. But some of the stuff he puts out, it's not too bad.
It's interesting to see where it's all headed. Well, even in Missouri, we've seen kind of the way things – well, you've watched what's happened at the Missouri State Capitol.
Can't get anything done.
Freedom Caucus folks and education reform and all that stuff in the middle of it.
Yeah, it's I think the next – are we 9 months away, basically, from November? Well, we got to get through August first, primary. But I see things just really – heating up even worse.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah.
Former councilman from Jefferson City, Edie Vogel, in with us, along with a cast of thousands. Former councilman Cliff Olson's in here, right in the middle of a big anniversary coming up. We'll talk to him. We're live at Jim Dyke's Cottonstone Gallery in Jefferson City on High Street on the KWS Morning Show. We'll come right back.
Here's what's coming up on Wake Up Mid-Missouri.
Hey, make sure you hang out with us on Monday morning on Wake Up Mid-Missouri, where we talk to Scott Fawn and Mayor Barbara Buffalo. Lots to talk about going on in Mid-Mo and Columbia.
And of course, at 8:10, we'll have that much-anticipated announcement from Representative Cherie Tolson-Reich.
And of course, you can watch us live on the Wake Up Mid-Missouri YouTube channel every morning. And hey, while you're over there, go ahead and subscribe to our channel.
Wake Up Mid-Missouri with Randy Tobler, weekday mornings 6 to 9.
Your yard is more of a jungle these days. Overgrown weeds, dead plants, patches of bare soil. Your once luscious oasis is anything but. So you'll need more than chucking a truck to help fertilize your yard. You need an expert who is certified. You need Craig with All-in-One Outdoor Solutions. All new customers get 30% off a year-long five-step fertilization plan if you sign up before March 31st. Go all in on your outdoors with All-in-One Outdoor Solutions.
All-in-OneOutdoor.com.
Catching you up on all things Jefferson City, it's Hal Dooley on KWOS.
This is the KWOS Saturday Morning Show, open air. Hal Dooley taking a day off. I'm John Marsh, in with Jim Dyke, live at Cottonstone Gallery on High Street, with a lot of runners getting ready for St. Pat's 5K, right outside of Jim's. We are here with Jeannie Swaller, Edie Vogel, former councilman Cliff Olson, in with us. And Cliff, a big anniversary right around the corner, we understand.
It is. It just seems like not too long ago we had the bicentennial, the 200th anniversary of America. And here we are now at the 250th. You know, time flies when you get older. I've noticed that as you get older, it just goes quicker and quicker.
Cliff, that's 50 years since the bicentennial.
I know.
Does that mean you're over 50?
It means just barely.
My God.
I was the bicentennial chairman of Russellville. I was in high school when I did that. I was on the Cole County Commission for the bicentennial. And I thought back then, boy, it'd be cool to live to the 250th, and here we are.
There we are. Well, talk to us about the history a little bit. What things are we going to celebrate? Cole County has a pretty storied history.
I tell you what, you know, we celebrated Cole County's history, what, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and Missouri's history last year, and here we are with American. But Cole County, being the state capital and all, we were early getting this started up. We worked over at the Capitol to get legislation to try to get the state pumped up on it. It's been slow go over there. The National Commission is totally out of it. So, you know, a group of us got together and said, hey, we're going to celebrate America's history. And we formed a committee, and we continue to look for people. One of the areas that we're missing on right now is we'd like a representative from each of the schools in Cole County to form a committee, and we plan to have contests for the students and bring them in. We have groups who want to go out and talk to the students about the founding of America, and I just think it's going to be big. It's you know, we hear we want flags everywhere. We want gardening. We want, you know, some sort of flower, kind of a, everybody have red or whatever, or red, white, and blue, or not a lot of blue flowers is the problem. But anyways, that's kind of where we're started up right now.
Well, it's one of those things, too, with, I think it's kind of a learning curve, because you said you wanted to involve schools and get some school representatives and all, and it's kind of a different take on the history than the kids, you know, just sort of getting the, I don't know, not maybe whitewashed version of it, but, you know, the standard curriculum.
Getting the few dates, you know, and that's
you
it.
You have to memorize them.
Yeah, exactly. And tell you, I've been writing 250 years ago, Forever Day, for next year, 2025, that would be 1775 when they started up the Continental Congresses, and so it's I'm date related now, but dates aren't important. It's the idea behind it all that was important, and we talk about it being a Revolutionary War, but you look at it, it was a Civil War. It was just like the war in 1861-5, you know, his brother against brother, and families were divided, and the states were divided.
Ask the Vogels and the Dooleys if they don't know their very own own Civil War history.
Well, Edie lives in one of the headquarters of back during the Civil War, so yeah.
The Dooley House has quite the storied history, doesn't it, Edie?
It does.
Camp Lily.
Well,
1861.
I know, Cliff, when you've been involved, you're real big on the hands-on approach to learning, I know, with the kids. When you guys have done your woodworking group that goes out, the kids are just mesmerized by what you guys do.
Well, I tell you, we've met with kids at the library in the past. We got guys who go down to the Missouri Military Museum and set up, and we have people who would like to go and talk in the schools. You know, when you have a bunch of stuff laid out on tables and they can actually see what they were doing and touch it, you know, it's not like we had lights and radios and communication. You know, from Boston to Battle of Lexington, it was officially notified and months and months later in England. You know, communications was just totally different. And even, you know, we talk about fake history and fake news and all of that, but one of the stories that I was writing yesterday was on gunpowder with some of the delegates in the Continental Congress. And one was saying, oh, we're sending 13 tons here and 5 tons there, and another of the same delegates from the same state said, oh, we're sending 5 here. And, you know, it's just trying to get the right information is very hard, you know, and you just kind of put it together.
Edie, well, we've got you here. I know you brought up the whole Camp Lily angle, and if we're talking history a little bit, give us a backstory on that a little bit in the Dooley House and how it played into the Civil War when the Union troops took over the capital city?
Well, actually, my great-great-grandfather, G.H. Dooley, immigrated to the United States probably in about 1840-something. And when he settled here in Cole County, his first job was cutting firewood for the Missouri State Penitentiary. And then he acquired some property. And I think at that time, it was government property that you could... how do you want to call it?
Homestead,
or maybe he bought it from somebody else. I know our deed of abstract is about this thick, okay? And he purchased around 200 acres, but every census book, he was listed as a farmer. And they didn't mention that at one time he was a sheriff of Cole County, and he was also the Cole County treasurer. This was G.H. Dooley. So while he was alive, he got married and had two sons, and they were born in the 60s, probably, or a little bit later than that. But anyway, the house was built.
1860s.
Okay, the house, 1860s. The house was built in approximately 1858. We kind of pinpointed that date. So it was definitely there in 1861 when the Union troops occupied Jefferson City under General John C. Fremont. And the history here in Cole County and Jefferson City, because we were the state capital, was a lot of division. And so the troops occupied Jefferson City, and they decided that they thought that the location of the homestead was in a appropriate place for visibility. So they told my great-grandfather and great-great-great-grandfather and great-great-grandmother that they were going to take over the house and use it as headquarters for what was subsequently called Camp Lily, which was named after Fremont's wife, who was Jessie Hart Benton, and their daughter's name was Lily. And Army people, as the years went by, would I understood it that the family had to move out, and the family history is that my grandparents took all their valuables and put them in trunks and buried them. But I never was clear. It was never clear where they went.
Did you ever find them?
No. Yeah. We have a quilt that's still there after it was dug up. But nobody passed on to where did Grandma and where did they go live while Fremont was in the house? Because they said he definitely stayed in the house. He wasn't here very long.
But the troops camped on the ground. Correct.
The troops camped on the ground, and they, the history goes that they were. Send the guys in the front door, and they'd go through the house, and the other enemy was watching and would see that they thought there was a lot of troops up there, which that probably wasn't. They were fooling the enemy by doing that.
I tell that story all the time here at the gallery because I got a picture of your house and how the Union troops went through the front door, marched straight out the back, and went in a circle to throw off the Confederates.
That's right.
That there were lots more troops than there really was. And then I joke because Edith teases and says she's a slob. And I tell people she would have killed the whole Union Army. They would have tripped over so much crap between the front door and the back door. She would have.
I leave that corridor pretty clear so the dog can go from the front door to the back door right now. They did recognize the house, as Camp Lily. Okay, so then fast forward to the Battle of 1864 on October the 7th of 64, when they were doing the last hurrah, and then Sterling Price, who had been the governor of the state of Missouri and 10 years earlier, was commander of the troops that were supposed to attack in Jefferson City, and lo and behold, they went around. They went around Jefferson City. So in my life, I think that was very important because I might not have been here. My great-great-grandfather and lots of other people might have been killed if Price had succeeded and wanted to fight here, but some reason, and they'll never know until you meet him wherever he is, and except if he's down in the Hades, you won't be able to talk to him down there. But I'm just saying that's our history here in Jefferson City, and I'm proud to maintain the property, and this is the 160th anniversary coming up.
Oh, wow.
Of the event in October, and I've told the Civil War guys, what's the name of their you know,
Sons
they're
of Union Veterans.
Sons of the Union Veterans, and then I think there's also the Confederates. I've never been
was
against
was a Howard's Bluff militia at one time.
There was one around.
And to get those guys, if they want to use, I have almost 3 acres left, and I would like for them, if they want to do something, a reenactment,
that'd
or
be awesome.
You know, I would be willing to do that.
There was also the Cole County Union Guard, because my husband's grandfather was in that, and I have a picture of him with his Union uniform on and the medals.
I think we have got a lot of history, and of course we had controversy because we had one monument, one rock that said there was one battle. I mean, I can bring it all up again.
The rock is coming back.
And so I couldn't believe, but that was the time when the whole nation was going through destruction of anything that had to do with the Civil War, especially with, you know, the Confederates, and it wasn't right, because it's just ignorant.
Well, Edie opened up her house a couple years ago to the public, actually, to go through, and it was pretty awesome. It was like walking through a museum.
And I might be able to do that again.
Edie Vogel's in with us, former councilman and historian Cliff Olson, Jeannie Schwaller. We're live with our buddy Jim Dyke at Cottonstone Gallery on High Street on the KWS Saturday Morning Show. Hal Dooley's off. Edie will talk about the big rock controversy when we come back on the KWS Saturday Morning Show.
Aqua Adam here with Echo Water. Lighthouse Preparatory Academy is hosting a raffle for their trap shooting team. Proceeds help sponsor students who are interested but may not have the means to participate. They also help fund other events during the year. Six winners will be drawn April 20th at Lighthouse Preparatory Academy. Win prizes such as a rifle from Browning, a shotgun from Weatherby, and an over-under from Mossberg. Call or stop in at the Echo Water office in Jefferson City to get your raffle ticket today for only $20. Echo Water, your water perfected. God bless.
To you, they're basically invisible. Tiny, weird, winged insects. Out of sight, out of mind, right? Not exactly. You see, while you're living your best human life above ground, there could be up to 1 million termites foraging for wood underneath your home. Steve's Pest Control needs you to know that termites are a serious problem. Like up to $40 billion in damage a year, serious. Oh, and that homeowner's insurance you've got? Yeah, termite damage isn't covered. In Missouri, it's not a matter of if you're going to get termites, it's when. A termite queen can lay over 20,000 eggs a day, and their colonies could house up to 1 million termites each. Upgrade your 5-star service with Steve's to the 5-star Advantage plan. In most cases, for less than $1.10 a day, you can show those termites that the Centricon system and Steve's Pest Control are a serious threat, too.
Hi, I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control. We're going to solve your pest problem. I guarantee it.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business, Steve's Pest Control.
Hi, this is Tanner Kimna with Kimna Collision Repair. Winter roads are behind us for now, but spring driving can pose its own risks. If a fender bender, boat ramp mishap, or hailstorm finds your car, tell your insurance company you are using Kimna Collision Repair. We work with your insurance company, not for them. Our focus is always on you and the best, safest repair on your car. Ask your family, ask your friends, and ask your agent. Let someone you trust do the job right. KimnaCollision.com.
Kimna Collision Repair.
It's time for the famous Taos Knights of Columbus Fish Fries. A delicious meal, raising money for worthy causes, and a great way to build community too. Just $14 gets you fried fish or boiled shrimp, baked potato or fries, slaw, hush puppies, baked beans, ice cream, tea, and coffee. Kids burger and fries for just $6. So make plans to join us this Friday for the Taos Knights of Columbus Fish Fry at the Taos Knights of Columbus Hall. Check or cash only. This message brought to you by San Bothe Plumbing.
The dawn chorus of birdsong, the calm trickling of streams, wind rustling through new leaves, bees busily buzzing, friends and family laughing and enjoying the outdoors again. You used to be able to hear all of the sounds of spring, but your hearing has faded, and spring plays more like a silent film now. So it will be all the more wonderful when you experience spring again, like your first movie in Dolby Digital.
Hearing aid consultants in Allmaker Repair Lab in Jefferson City. We are here for you today so you can hear tomorrow.
KWOS Saturday Open Air with Hal Dooley and the whole crew.
It is KWS Saturday Open Air, the Saturday morning show. We are live from Jim Dyke's Cottonstone Gallery on High Street as they're getting all set for the Luck of the Irish 5K run and or walk here on High Street. We're talking with Jeannie Schwaller, Jim Dykes here, Cliff Olson, and Edie Vogel. Edie, let's do a reset on the Sterling Price marker that was here in Jefferson City and talk to folks about maybe giving the backstory on it, and there might be some new news in that regard.
Well,
stay tuned, right?
Stay tuned. Yeah, it after the controversy with the city of Jefferson, and well, the rock was mysteriously ripped up in the
memorial marker over on
Morrill Drive.
Morrill Drive
that was placed there in the 30s. Maybe had been moved from the original location, which was at the Morrill Heights New School, and then when they built the new school, they moved the monument up the street to the corner of Morrill Drive and Fairmont Boulevard, and there might be another little side street in there. But for all those years, it kind of was just there,
and it had many, you at the Rock after school,
and it had many nicknames. The chicken nugget, and then the Rock, and nobody really knew
Rebel Rock.
Now, being in a West Side girl, I never really went out there, and really, I could tell you, never knew what it said myself. Okay, but I knew it was there, and like I said, was it 2020? United States was being tore apart by removal of anything that had to do with the Civil War. Even though that monument had a positive statement on it, because it said that the Sterling Price turned from Jefferson City on such and such a date. The controversy came when the Democrats decided that they didn't like it because it was given by the Daughters of the Confederacy, which had an active chapter here in Jefferson City. And at that time in the 30s, those women who belonged to that were the movers and shakers of Jefferson City. So they thought it was appropriate that they would mark something about the Civil War, being the fact that a lot of them had roots probably from the South. So, and I took that as they were just...
A lot of mid-Missourians came from Virginia in the
exactly
earlier days,
right,
didn't they?
And Kentucky and the, you know, places where they settled here. And so I thought to myself, why are you so upset with the Daughters of the Confederacy? Well, over the years, they decided that the daughters were campaigning for, you know, all the
KKK.
Yeah. And okay. My grandmother, who lived to be 91, and my mother was in college or high school when supposedly the KKK might have had some they might have had some cells out in the county. Okay, right? Okay. So we didn't hear, the city folk didn't really maybe pay attention to any of that. But that's what the people who opposed the monument were trying to put on to the local people, that we had to get rid of that monument because of what it said.
Who founded the KKK? What party?
The Democrats.
Okay.
So that's why I couldn't understand that. I thought it just says that the troops turned, the Confederate Army turned from Jefferson City. Well, fast forward to it all being removed, and I just thought that's terrible. And I went to a couple of city council meetings and volunteered. I said, don't pitch the rock away. Don't, you know, I would be willing to take it at my own expense and put it up at Camp Lily, mm-hmm. you know, so it'd be preserved. Well, they wasn't going to have that. You know, it had to be taken away. So the best of my knowledge, it was packed up, and it was sent to the Civil War Museum storage house that's located somewhere in the state. Okay,
so it was St. Louis,
yeah,
I think.
It was in storage.
Yeah.
So then I just thought, well, there, that's what it is, and I'm still trying to, you know, figure it all out.
Well, and fast forward.
Well,
and the folks who remember the news story.
Yeah,
and all,
you would talk about Adrian's Island,
exactly.
and the pavers.
Why don't
so
we?
Kind of just the parks people decided they wanted to memorialize whatever you wanted to put on little pavers down at the Adrian's Island, and it was the Parks Foundation sponsored that you could put what you wanted for a cost of whatever one plaque, the smaller ones were $500 or $250, and $1,000 get you a pretty big plaque, and then you were limited to what you put on it. So I reworded, or kind of just kind of put in my own heart what I said was that Camp Lily notes, and then it kind of talked about the, you know, the being turned away. Well, they got mad at that, you know.
They didn't like the verbiage, and the verbiage was pretty darn mild.
And so they were ripped up, and I said, well, don't throw those away. Give them back to me, and I want my $2,000 back. And so that took place. But then I thought, you know, this isn't right. I knew my rights were being violated.
First Amendment, right.
So I gathered up some... Just got me a lawyer, and I said, "This is what I'd like you to do." So we filed a lawsuit against the mayor, and it was heard in district court in Kansas City. And I don't think the court had the petition more than a week when my lawyer heard back and said, "You know, her rights are being violated. It's definitely First and 14th Amendment violations of the Constitution." So lawyer said to the city, you know, judge says you got to settle, so let's do that. So we settled and got my rocks, and then I gave him back my $2,000 because I meant to do that. I didn't want them to be cheated out of the donation of me paying for those rocks or those plaques and then taking them up. Well, they're down at the river. They're there now.
Yeah, they are on Adrian's Island,
yes.
Right on the approaches,
yes.
There, as
yeah.
They should be.
Yeah. So that's the story.
Can you hear the music outside?
A little bit.
That's Dolly Parton's rock star album. And I'm, you know, she's hurting for money. And so I've got a little sign out here that says, now playing Dolly Parton rock star, because I'm so impressed that she's 78.
In the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And if you know the story, they wanted to put her in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And she says, I don't even do rock music. She goes, I'm not going to be mad if you put me in there, but I don't see why. So they went ahead and did it. And she goes, okay, fine. I need to do a rock album. And she produced an album that's got 30 songs. She wrote several of them her own to be on the album. And then a lot of covers, so like Purple Rain and
Journey and what else? Were
Let It Be and what's the one by the Rolling Stones? Can't Get No Satisfaction. All these great songs, and she's just rocking it. And I bet just talking to people while I'm standing, like I'm going to probably stand out here and paint today in front of the gallery if it warms up enough.
Okay.
And just talking to people, I've helped a lot of elderly people download her album. I bet I've sold two or more dozen of her albums for her right here. I met her one time at the state fair, like 9 years ago. She goes to the Dollywood. I've got friends that work there.
Sure.
And
she owns Dollywood.
Well, she does, also with my friend Pete Hershen, who owns Silver Dollar City. From that little hole in the ground in Branson, and the work they developed down there, they now own 30 to 40 amusement parks around the country. Hershen Entertainment is the number one entertainment
big
group in the United States. Own Dollywood with Dolly. But
And they give away their money that they make for good causes.
They do. Yeah. Like Edith gives away Cokes. It's kind of the same thing.
Does.
Yeah. But anyhow.
She sends out 2 million books.
So I forgot what I was going to say now. Edith interrupts, and I lose my train of thought.
Well,
Edith, where was that going?
Talking about your buddy Dolly Parton.
Yeah. So I drew her at the state fair. So she goes to Dollywood all the time. My friends that work there, she goes in out of costume and walks around, and you would never know it's her. And she sits by you. And then I drew her at the state fair. And this guy sits down, and then... I drew him, so he gets up, and this lady sits down. Looked like she'd been to Walmart to get some blue jeans and shorts, and a Walmart purse and whatever. And I'm drawing her, and I'm looking at her eyes. You know, eyes are something I start with, and you can make up everything else, but you can't fool with the eyes. And so I'm looking at the eyes, and I was like, oh, okay, I see what the deal is here, because she has property here in Missouri. Anyhow. So Florida Georgia Line was in concert that night. It was a Wednesday. It was about 10:30 in the morning. And I said, you know, Florida Georgia Line's here tonight, but you know who I'd like to meet someday? I'd love to meet Dolly, and I just really poured it on thick. And I can quote her lyrics to her songs easy. I did Tennessee Mountain Home and just laid it on thick. By the time I was done drawing and gabbing and talking, she realized that I realized what was going on.
Knew who you were talking to.
Yeah. And so finally at the end of it, I gave her the picture and everything. I said, you know, you kind of look like Dolly. And she did her famous giggle. And she goes, well, I reckon so. It was a really cool moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, more stories like that if you come by Cottonstone Gallery on High Street in Jefferson City. Jim, you want to make a pitch for the business?
Did I say it already? We've been down here 42 years, and of the 42 years, I've owned it the longest. We're on 116 East High, right at the crosswalk here, one block east of the Missouri Capitol, and people come in, they can see. I'll open up the floor. The piece of the floor opens up to the stairs. You know, Daniel Boone's son laid out the streets here. Sometimes you hear about a capital in St. Charles. That was temporary because when they decided to put the capital here on the bluff of the Missouri within 40 miles of the mouth of the Osage, that was done before statehood. And then we became a state, but we didn't have a city here, so they had to develop one. Daniel Boone's son came and laid out the roads. And
same guy the county of Boone is named after, correct?
Well, his son, Daniel Morgan Boone.
Okay.
That's who it was.
My Boone's incorrect.
Yeah. Well, keep your Boones in line. And then, so they put the first Missouri Capitol, stood kind of like the shape of Edith's house, a little bit fancier than hers, and not so much, you know, trash in the hallway, and faced the Missouri River. Sorry, Edith.
That's all right.
And so... And it came up with the first newspaper. The Rising Sun Hotel stood right across the street where the Ameren building is. And I've got pictures of all that. So when you walk down Jefferson City downtown in the streets, you're walking in a really cool place. The block of Madison in front of the mansion is probably by now the coolest block of history in the whole state. I stood beside Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Al Gore, Tipper Gore, Ted Kennedy. Not especially my favorite people, but
Carnahan,
you know,
funeral, correct?
Yes, and they, you know, they were the president, and they had positions, and so it's history, and I would like to call that block First Capitol Plaza, and I've got plans to get the asphalt off, expose the bricks, and put a big circle emblem in the road, and call it First Capitol Plaza, and put up some markers down the. Around that city block. You know those little markers they have, landmarks? Looks like a desk with no chair on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And so you, on the markers you can put some history. You know, Daniel Boone's family went by here. George Caleb Bingham went by here.
Lewis and Clark.
Thomas Hart Benton.
Well, guys, we're out of time, but Jim, we appreciate your hospitality here at Cottonstone Gallery.
John Marsh was there.
We were here.
18-something.
Jenny Schwaller, Edie Vogel, Cliff Olson, the whole crew. Guys, we appreciate everybody being here this morning. Hal will be back bright and early next Saturday morning, and Kim Commando's next. Keep it right here. News Radio 950 KWOS.
News Radio 950 and on FM at 104.5 KWOS.